Our scripture reading this morning comes from the sixth chapter of the Gospel of Mark, verses 1 through 13. I invite you to listen and listen for words of hope, of challenge that strike you or you think are speaking to our church family as we seek to serve and follow. Let us listen for the word of God. Jesus left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown, and among their own kin, and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. And I'm going to continue reading. I'm only halfway through. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick, and cured them. May God bless our hearing and our understanding. Jesus was amazed at their unbelief. Any words that stood out for you? Or phrases? Chris? Wipe off the dust from your feet as a testimony. It's a rejection of the lack of hospitality that they received. We saw that reference with them and the Samaritans, which they did not like well. So it's not a good thing. But leaving that behind rather than carrying resentment. Okay. Well, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Well, Friday at quitting time, Jim said, "Boss, have you any extra work I can do tonight?" "Sure do, but I can't pay you overtime." "That's okay. I just don't want to go home." "Why not?" "Well, I've been in the doghouse since last night." "I see. And what did you do to deserve that?" "I still don't know. I was minding my own business, relaxing in front of the TV. My wife enters the room and asks, 'What's on the TV?' And honestly, all I said was, dust. She's been mad ever since. Well, you know, in a marriage or any relationship, there are some things that are better left unsaid. Now, honesty is essential and good communication, but if you want to avoid pain and heartache, if you want to avoid scandal, it's best to choose wisely and lovingly what you do say. Jesus, in our scripture, came back to his home synagogue in Capernaum with a message. We're not told the specifics, but we can guess that he continued talking about the kingdom of God that has come near. He continued talking with authority and power, with wisdom and with grace. He continued to show the kingdom of God through his own life. And they took offense at him, we read. Now, the Greek word for offense is scandalon. They felt scandalized by his words and actions. Now, scandalon is also used as a technical word for the effect of Christ's death on unbelieving Israel. Now, speaking in the Corinthians, or to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul used that same word to mean a stumbling block or an ongoing scandal. So, the people were scandalized by Jesus. But what was the scandal? Jesus had been drawing great crowds everywhere else he went. So many, in fact, that he had to sneak into his own hometown. So I think we can assume that the church was full that Sabbath, the synagogue, that is, because Jesus was there speaking. We know his reputation had preceded him from the villages where he had been teaching and performing miracles, and apparently he did not disappoint. As they said, "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What's this wisdom that has been given him, that he even does miracles?" Apparently, Jesus once again spoke with authority and power. But there was a problem. We're told that this was Jesus' hometown, and remember, we don't have any Bethlehem or Nazareth stories in the Gospel of Mark. The people of Capernaum had watched Jesus grow up at least for a while. They knew his family, as we read. "Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. They were scandalized. Jesus said to them, "Only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor." And he could not do any miracles there, except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them, which sounds pretty miraculous to me. But Pastor Edward Marquardt tells a story of going back to preach in his home church for the first time since his ordination service, which had been years earlier. He said he looked out as he preached and just knew that one lady was not listening. He could see her fidgeting and knew she just wanted to say something. So after the service, he approached her, and she reminded him of what a wild child he had been growing up, and how surprised people were that he had become a minister. And she reminded him of his own words. "You said the only difference between you and the other kids in town was that you never got caught." I can imagine hearing some of the same if I went back to preach in my hometown suburb of Detroit. But be honest, how many believe you also might receive little credibility back in your own hometown? Anybody? A few. Only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. Jesus said this after the people were scandalized by his teaching, his wisdom and authority, the deeds of power he was reputed to have accomplished. The people were scandalized that Jesus, the carpenter, the day laborer in Greek, was claiming authority. Now, these were words of derision. Jesus had worked with his hands, a common laborer. You didn't need to be a genius to build things out of stone and wood, they thought. They were scandalized also by Jesus' heritage. Notice they said, Mary's son. No mention of Joseph, the father. They were also scandalized by familiarity. Can't you just imagine what stories had been told by brothers, James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Or by Jesus' sisters? I can imagine. The people were scandalized. And because of their unbelief, Jesus was unable to do any miracles there. So Jesus left town. He left Capernaum and went back out to the villages where no one knew Jesus the boy, Jesus the brother, Jesus the supposed illegitimate child of Mary. Out in the villages, when Jesus spoke with authority and power, the people believed. They believed. Before his hometown, Jesus taught that the kingdom of God had come near. Before his hometown, Jesus had shown the kingdom. In fact, he used his kingdom power, his kingdom authority, to perform exorcisms, to free even the wind and the sea from the demonic storm, to free a man from a legion of demons, to free a woman from years of hemorrhaging, a young girl from death itself. After his hometown visit, we're told in today's scripture that Jesus freed his disciples from everything that might separate them from the kingdom of God. He freed them from self-concern, concern about what they would eat, money for emergencies, extra clothes, concern about upgrading their dwelling places, or putting a burden on their hosts and hostesses, concern about anything other than preaching the good news of God's kingdom, and inviting others to repent from their slavery to this world and inviting them into the freedom of God's kingdom. You see, Jesus gave the disciples authority to free other people from unclean spirits, to free them from disease. Jesus freed the disciples to live in God's kingdom, and they did it. Unlike Jesus' hometown neighbors and friends, probably some cousins, an aunt or uncle, the disciples responded to Jesus' commission to go with faith and with God's authority and with power, faithful, hopeful, and loving. This scripture today is all about scandal. The hometown people who were scandalized by Jesus' teaching, authority, and power, and the disciples who overcame this scandal, who responded in faith, who opened their hearts and minds to God's kingdom to see as God sees, and were set free. For the hometown folks, The kingdom of God was a scandal, a stumbling block for the disciples, the followers of Jesus. The kingdom of God became an adventure in freedom, in power, and authority. Can you just imagine how excited the disciples felt when they returned to Jesus? How excited they must have been to actually experience and participate in the kingdom of God, to see lives changed. And that would be only the beginning. Soon, they will help Jesus feed 5,000. Soon, Jesus will walk on water. Can you imagine? The kingdom of God is scandalous, a stumbling block, because it operates by a different set of rules. Things work differently in God's kingdom. Things look different. There are different priorities. People are healed in the kingdom. Demons are cast out. Cruelty is cast out. People give all that they have in the kingdom. People overcome temptations and fears like Jesus did in the kingdom. Can you imagine the scandal if God's kingdom started showing up in our society, in our churches, in our neighborhoods, in our lives? Can you imagine the scandal if we started living by kingdom of God priorities today, during another political year? People standing up for the common good. Speaking out for others, for love of the least of these, calling out cruelty and injustice. These people are being labeled as scandalous today. Perhaps in our world today, the kingdom of God is more scandalous than it has ever been. People watching and catching glimpses of God's presence and God's kingdom at work in churches, in neighborhoods, and the world. People giving sacrificially to the church's ministries, committing themselves to impacting hunger, building bridges of home, helping to provide homes or security for people, meeting real needs, people giving their time and talents to build up the body of Christ. People actually stepping out of their comfort zones to share the good news. Good news of Jesus and eternal life that begins today, and then inviting friends and neighbors to tune in or log in or show up and find out more. People finding ways to use their own passions and desires to align with God's purposes, to work for quality of life, the common good, and justice, despite their own challenges and troubles, disregarding their own comfort and ambition in order to help others to live better lives. In our world today, this is scandal. In God's kingdom, this is life in right relationship with God. Faithful, hopeful, loving. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God has come near." It truly does come near, even in difficult times, when we see and choose the kingdom and choose to live by kingdom rules and priorities and kingdom love and power. So come on, don't you want a little scandal in your life? A little kingdom of God scandal, that is? Maybe we could help God's kingdom become the talk of our neighborhood, or maybe even Grand Junction. Take-home question: how can First Christian Church create good or kingdom scandal here in Grand Junction? Will you pray with me? Blessed God, we're so grateful that you look upon us and you see the good and you see the potential. You see the love. You see the possibilities. And you see what we're, our best intentions of what we're trying to do to partner with you, to partner together, to make a difference in lives right here in this community. You see us sinners, imperfect people, coming together to offer the best worship we know how. And you accept it and you love us. We give you thanks, O God, for calling us together to be your church, a glimpse of your kingdom right here next to Sherwood Park. Continue to guide us. Fill us with your love, with your grace and mercy, so that we can shower out that love and grace and mercy to all those around us. All those around us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.